Gatha on opening the sutra, the Dharma incomparably profound and infinitely subtle is rarely encountered, even in millions of ages. Now we see it, hear it, receive and maintain it. May we completely realize the Tathagata's true meaning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
When a monk started to advance in his practice, many times there was a very subtle form of conceit when he looked at his fellow students who hadn't gotten as far. And so the teacher would make him clean the bathrooms. And when I saw that porta-john outside early, I was trying to think, who should I assign to clean it? And so I was thinking of Sensei Ray, and we had lunch after the retreat, sometime during the week. I don't remember exactly how it came up, but we started talking about our teacher, Roshi Kennedy. I think I might have even mentioned at the retreat, you know, when I was studying with Roshi Kennedy and started with a koan mu, which is what we call the entry koan, I would go to Daisan and meet with Roshi. And, you know, would work hard all week, come in, and so he would say in his deep Kennedy voice, "So, how is it?" And I would give some harebrained response about mu. I guess you have to know him, but he would have this very quizzical look on his face, like, "What the hell are you talking about?" But he didn't say what the hell would he. And then he'd ring the bell. You know what I'm talking about, right? So we were talking about these kind of stories. And so Sensei Ray at this time, who was a student, happened to be the bell ringer. So he, you know, he rang three times to start the meditation period. And then the meditation period, as you know, was supposed to end with two bells. He forgot to ring the bells. So later Roshi said to him, he said, "Ray, you know, I know the practice is about enlightenment, but we don't leave out the bells." I still haven't given up Stonehouse, so you're going to hear another round of that today. So I want to just say a little bit about the life of a hermit. And that doesn't happen too much anymore contemporarily. You know, there are teachers who do give up teaching for periods of time and sit in seclusion. But I don't know of any teachers who actually become hermits. You know, they go off and never come back. But back in China and Japan, it wasn't unusual for a teacher, you know, after he had become a teacher, to leave the monastery and go up live in the mountains. And he would leave his conventional life behind. And as part of this act, he would become intimately a part of the activity of the mountain. And if you remember from my talk on Dogen, we would say he became part of the mountain walking. And what that means is the mountain walking sounds crazy at first, but there is a difference. You know, when you sit and you look at the mountain in the distance, it's just a thing. It's a mountain. But when you enter the mountain, you become part of its walking, part of its activity. You become one. And so there's no gap, no separation. You're the mountain and everything that goes on, which is part of the mountain. Now, of course, all descriptions are from a distance, right? And so when the hermit becomes intimate, these descriptions evaporate, and there are no words. There are no hermit. There is no hermit. There's no moon. There's no stream. There's no mountain. And there's no activity of the mountain. There is only the direct experience of the mountain walking. So then, subtly, after all that disappears, description reappears. But we realize, as Sensei Ray mentioned in his talk, these are really two sides of the same coin. You know, two sides of the same hand. They're not separate. So to further our understanding of this, what I'm going to do is, in between, when I think it's appropriate, I'm going to read one of the poems from Stonehouse. A trail through green mist, red clouds, and bamboo to a hut that stays cold and dark all day. Simply let go, and worries end. Stop to think, and cares reappear. An unpolished mirror holds countless shapes. A great bell resounds only when it is rung. Our original nature is the one true Buddha, not form or emptiness, not past or present. Right? So that's emptying the mount of the mountain and becoming one with this, not form or emptiness, and not past or present. Right? You know, so it's fun to play with words and to write poetry. But we should always be ready, moment to moment, not to confuse the finger pointing at the moon with the moon itself. Don't confuse the poetry or the eloquent words about entering the mountain or the mountain walking with the actual act of becoming the mountain. So because we are human, when we live on the mountain and become one with its activity, of course we naturally fall in love with the mountain walking, with the streams, the moon and stars, the howl of gibbons unseen, and the mist obscuring the valley, the entire activity. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. It's exquisite. So like a mother and her newborn child, this love is a natural expression of the deep connection between hermit and mountain. I sleep in the clouds where the sun doesn't shine, beside a high cliff and a mountain stream. I dream on my cot until the moon fills the window. The porridge is done when the stove smoke clears. A million reasons vanish without being driven off. Our single perfect nature shines by itself. As clear as a cloudless sky, it never changes. The sea, meanwhile, is now a mulberry grove. So to me, when I read those words, this is a guy that's in love with being part of the activity of the mountain. So when we speak of this activity, of the mountain, the question that comes up, is it the mountain that moves? Is it the mountain that's active? Or is it the mind that is active? Or is it that neither the mountain nor the mind moves? Who enters this gate, who studies this teaching, has to be thorough and push to the end, in spite of the teacher's facial expressions. Still, the empty body and the reason remains. Forget the thinking mind, and the world disappears. Cloud-draped trees form a landscape of white. The summit turns red as it bites the setting sun. The flag moves, or is it the wind? It isn't the wind or the flag. One of the answers to this is from a koan. Does the flag move, or is it your mind that moves? And one of the answers to that question is, that's not confusing the finger pointing to the moon. Well, the hermit's dedication has been transferred. It becomes transferred into a wonderful gift. And the question becomes, how shall he express it? In ancient times, the student celebrated enlightenment by entering the mountain, by becoming a hermit, and leaving worldly matters behind. And in so doing, the question is, is Stonehouse making two, the mountain versus the marketplace? He appears not to be interested in using his insight in service of others. Or is there enough room for enlightenment to be expressed in more than one way? How would you answer this question? Seclusion, of course, means far from the world of thick moss, deep woods and perfumed plants. The sight of mountains, rain or shine, no sounds of the market, day or night, right? So he's talking about the market that he's left behind. I burn dry leaves in my stove to make tea. And to patch my old robe, I cut a cloud by the cliff. Lifetimes seldom fill 100 years. Why suffer chasing profit and fame? The thing that we talked about this before, but there's, to me, you can hear sort of a one-up, you know, that somehow being living in the mountain is better than being back in the old marketplace. So the question is Stonehouse making two? Now, I read that these poems, he would send back, and he would share his poems back in the community. So I think that maybe he has answered the question. Now, do you understand what that means? How did he answer the question? You could say that he serves others by offering his poems, which are a profound expression of his deep insight, and pointing the way for others to realize themselves. Right? So he takes these poems and he shares his insight. You know, so maybe this is his gift, his way of serving others, so that they can realize themselves. Or so the service that I'm talking about can take many forms. Thank you.